From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made when a couple decides to go home to visit family for Christmas. On the road, while listening to music and planning their holiday activities, the driver turns to the passenger and says that the visit may not be the one that they had initially planned. She says her parents don't know a few things. Two big things. That the two are dating and that she is gay. This is a scene from the new Hulu film, Happiest Season. It's the story of a woman going home for Christmas, but her conservative family doesn't know she's a lesbian and that her roommate is actually her girlfriend. The movie is being praised by critics and LGBTQ advocates as a queer holiday miracle and the rom-com that queer fans deserve. But the praise for the film has been countered with some criticism, with some writers, some LGBTQ writers, saying Happiest Season has themes that could cause some LGBTQ viewers to relive the trauma of being in the closet or pushed back into the closet. And this hour, we'll discuss the film, the challenges of coming out, especially coming out as adults. We'll talk about acceptance or lack of acceptance in families and themes of identity. My guests this hour share their thoughts on the movie and share their experiences with coming out as adults themselves. Kate Sweeney is the theater manager for Monroe Community College and organizer of Ambush Rochester. Hi, Kate. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Good. And Scotty Gannett's with us, director of marketing and communications, a director of marketing and communications, who is a Rochesterian, but now out in Chicago. Is that right, Scotty?
That's correct, Evan. Hi, how are you?
Well, welcome back. I still think of you as a Rochesterian, so there.
once a Rochesterian, always a Rochesterian.
Yeah, there you go. So let's do this. Let's listen to a few clips from the movie, and we're going to talk about this. Now, listeners, of course we have to warn you that there are some spoilers here, but I also think that it's fair to say this is a movie that it's a little bit predictable, and the themes are pretty out in the open anyway. So as much as these are spoilers, understand if you're going to watch Happiest Season, you may not want to listen to these clips. But these clips may make you want to watch the movie. So the first one is the couple in the car. This is Harper and Abby. They're on their way to Harper's family house in, I think it's Grove City, Pennsylvania. Small Pennsylvania, rural Pennsylvania, small town. They've been together. They've been living together. And turns out Harper's got to warn Abby that things aren't exactly as they think with Harper's family that they're going to go see. Let's listen.
There's something that we should talk about before we get to my parents' house.
What is it?
Do you remember this summer when I came out to my parents and told them we were together and they took it really well?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that wasn't entirely accurate.
They didn't take it well?
No. I didn't tell them. I was going to, and then my dad told us that he was running for mayor, and it just didn't feel like the right time. And then now he's trying to get the support of this donor, and our whole Christmas is about impressing this person, which is stressing my mom out even more than usual. And I know that if I tell them now, their reaction is going to be colored by all this other stress. And I'm sorry, I don't think that's fair to you or to us.
Then why did you invite me?
Because we were just having such a special night. And fine, I got carried away, but it's because I love you and I want to give you such a great Christmas.
We're off to a really great start.
I'm so sorry.
So who do they think I am?
My roommate.
They don't think it's weird that you're bringing your roommate home for Christmas?
No, because I told them that you had nowhere else to go because your parents are no longer with us.
I'm not going.
Look, this is actually a really good opportunity for them to see how amazing and kind and smart you are. You said it yourself, you're great with parents, so they're going to meet you, they're going to fall in love with you, and then that'll make it so much easier when I do tell them. Look, I get it, okay? I am asking a lot of you, but I promise I will tell them everything after the holidays.
Okay, so that scene is pretty controversial right there on its own because reviewers, critics have argued over whether Abby at that point, played by Kristen Stewart, should have said, nope, I'm not going. And I admit, Kate and Scotty, I admit I'm watching this movie and I'm going, no, Abby, you cannot go. Like, don't go. Like, I mean, I understand everything that Harper is saying there about the challenge of dealing with family. But at the same time, it's a fact in the relationship that Harper lied to Abby. Harper told Abby that she told her family and she didn't. And that was a lie. And that to me is a breach of trust. And I at that moment was, at least from my own couch, was saying, turn around, go home. Kate, what do you make of that scene?
Well, I feel like if she had turned around, there wouldn't be a movie.
Well, that's obvious. But, you know, I'm thinking of them as, I'm going outside of the movie context, but go ahead.
I feel like in that situation, perhaps, like Kristen Stewart's character would feel kind of stuck and, well, maybe I can give it a whirl. And, you know, I feel like it's something that would very much throw you off guard, especially if you're not used to that environment and you've already been living your life kind of out and where that wasn't even a question. Especially in this day and age, I feel like it kind of would take you aback and take you a second to more think about it. Of course, in retrospect, it would seem like, oh, well, you should have just not gone and be done with it right there because she lied to you. But, you know, beyond a little movie magic, I feel like in a real life scenario, you might be taken aback and want to trust your partner that you're with and go forward from there.
Okay. Scotty, what do you think?
You know, I have to agree. You know, I can't imagine being in a car heading to your partner's parents and then on the way finding out that, you know, your partner actually hasn't come out and doesn't even know that, you know, they're bringing their partner with you. I would be thrown. And also, you know, I'd have to really be deeply thinking about, you know, would my behavior or how I live or me being out be a controversial subject as I walk into my partner's home? You know, I'd be concerned about that as well. I have to say, you know, would I go along with it? Probably. But I'd be a little concerned.
In the movie, Abby decides to go along with it. She's going to sleep in the downstairs bedroom. She goes along with the idea that they are roommates, and the movie sort of proceeds in ways that you might find a little predictable. There's a lot of sort of holiday movie tropes that are in this film, you know, seeing the old friends and the old flames back in the hometown and things like that. And we're going to play a clip now that, again, spoiler alert, in this scene, it's the night of the family and sort of it's an extended family gift exchange. And Harper, who is, again, Harper is dating Abby, and Harper has convinced Abby, we've got to lie to my parents about our relationship. Harper is always competing with one of her other sisters for her parents' attention and love, and they both know secrets about each other. I think it's Sloan. Her sister finds out that she and Abby are together, and Sloan wants to out Harper in the middle of the party to her parents. Meanwhile, Harper has found out that Sloan's marriage is falling apart. They're not the perfect interracial marriage with happy kids and happy work situations that they've been sort of projecting, and she's threatening Sloan to come out with that, and it all comes out in this big fight. Listen to what happens here.
What is going on?
Yeah, what is going on? Harper, do you want to tell them or should I?
Don't! Sloan!
Why? It's not good timing.
Stop that this instant!
Come on, guys, just hug it out.
Shut up, Jane!
Don't do this, Sloan.
All this because you're scared to not be the favorite. Pathetic!
Sloan, you're making a scene!
I am? You think she's so innocent? All of this is happening because Harper is... Harper is a lesbian. Abby's her girlfriend. She is lying. I am not a lesbian. Sloan is the one that has this big...
Thank you.
What you hear there is the door closing, and Abby has walked out of the house after watching her girlfriend Harper, even after being outed by her sister to her family, deny her love and her relationship. I found that scene almost impossible to watch. Really, really painful for Abby. And so I admit, as a viewer, once again there, Kate, I'm watching this going, all right, Abby, now you got to go home. Your girlfriend just flat out refused to acknowledge your love and your relationship, even when it was dragged out against her will. It was painful to watch that. How was it to watch for you, Kate?
Yes. No, I mean, I feel like it definitely feels for Abby so much so. Not only the fact that finally this big secret has come to light, but that, and so she's already in an awkward situation because she's already been put on the spot by the sister, you know, like calling out. And then for it to turn even worse for her to the point of that, oh, well, obviously my relationship really doesn't mean anything to her because she can't, even in this heightened scenario where she's been put on the spot, even care about me for that moment. So, I mean, obviously walking out was the right thing to do at that time.
Scotty, how did you see that?
Oh, it's absolutely painful to watch someone, you know, you think you're, you know, in love with somebody and in a perfect opportunity to come out and have your partner right there standing right next to you and affirm your relationship. Just a complete betrayal. It's heart-wrenching to watch that scene.
Well, it was a few moments later in the movie that I admit I think that there was a scene that changed me, and for me at least, I'll just be honest, made me even question my own sort of, I don't know, straight. I don't want to use sort of like packaged, overly glossy terms, but straight privilege here, because here I was thinking, come on, this is 2020. This movie would have made more sense 10 or 20 years ago, but it's 2020, and this feels outdated. Society is moving in a different direction. You talk about a privileged sort of viewpoint for me to have that. And then Dan Levy comes in. Dan Levy, of course, is from the amazing show Schitt's Creek. Schitt's Creek spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-F-C-C. Don't call me. Dan Levy in this plays Abby's friend who has come up basically to pick her up and bring her home because, you know, he's worried about her. And they take a walk after this scene. He has witnessed all of it. And this little monologue from Dan Levy hit me so hard. Let's listen.
I don't think that she loves me as much as I thought she did.
Hey, Harper not coming out to her parents has nothing to do with you.
How could it not?
Remind me, what did your parents say when you told them you were gay?
That they loved and supported me.
That's amazing. My dad kicked me out of the house and didn't talk to me for 13 years after I told him. Everybody's story is different. There's your version, and my version, and everything in between. But the one thing that all of those stories have in common is that moment. Right before you say those words, when you're heart is racing and you don't know what's coming next. That moment's really terrifying. And then once you say those words, you can't unsay them. A chapter has ended and a new one's begun, and you have to be ready for that. Can't do it for anyone else. Just because Harper isn't ready, it doesn't mean she never will be. And it doesn't mean she doesn't love you.
Yeah. I want to be with someone who is ready.
Just a devastating scene. And just as an aside, in the last couple of years, Dan Levy has put out more good things to the world than most things that I can imagine putting out in a lifetime. I mean, I just, that hit me so hard. And we're not going to reveal how the movie ends. That's up for listeners if you want to check out Happiest Season. But at the very least for me, Kate, it reopened the door for me for this couple, because I thought for so long I was watching this movie going, get out of there, Abby. She doesn't deserve you. I was even sort of rooting for Abby and Riley. Riley is a woman in town who also dated Harper in the past and can empathize with being sort of pushed into the closet. And I kind of was rooting for that relationship. But this speech hit me really hard because it made me realize, Evan, you still don't know. You don't know, and you shouldn't assume that anything is easy, especially in families that are more conservative or families in more rural areas. And if that got me back, at least into opening the door for the couple. How about you, Kate? I mean, I'm just a straight male viewer who probably needed to hear that from Dan. I'm not sure you and Scotty needed to hear it as much as I did, but what did you think of that, Kate?
Well, Dan Levy's character in the movie, definitely pretty much every line that comes out of his mouth is the most truest thing said in the movie that are relatable to me. Obviously a member of the LGBTQI community, and especially that speech, because it is true. And I will say, even for me, for just in life in general, throughout everything we've been going through with the COVID-19 pandemic, that's a lesson that I've learned too, that you don't know anyone else's story and you don't know anyone else's struggle, and you have to give everyone a little bit of time. Like, and you know, Abby decided to make the decision at that point that that's not what she wanted, to be with somebody that didn't have that struggle going on inside. But you have to have compassion for people that do. And everything that he said, that's so true within the community itself. Everyone has their own stories. Some have stories of, you know, like a coming out party and things like that. And others have stories that are not even, you know, like close to that. I mean, I personally came out 20 years ago and it was different then. And I was happy with my own coming out scenario with my family, but it wasn't a celebration. It wasn't, it wasn't these things that we think that everyone has all this acceptance now. Everyone's still just people, and to look at things in different ways. They always knew their daughter to be a certain way, so they needed a second too to kind of figure out if that's a, you know, like, was that okay? Did we even ever think about that? And her own internal struggle, Harper's struggle of, you know, like, there's no way that my family will ever actually accept me and love me. That's something that we put on ourselves, because you don't know until it happens. You don't know until after that moment, as he, you know, like so eloquently put, that your heart is racing and you're going to say it, and you know you're going to say it, and that once it's said, it doesn't really matter what happens from there. You hope it's good, but it could be bad, but you need to say it.
Scotty, what about you? And we're going to return to Kate's point about her own coming out story, coming out as an adult, because that's what this film centers on here. Scotty, what about you? This kind of monologue, this conversation that Dan Levy's character has with Kristen Stewart's character, how did it hit you?
First of all, I'd say thank God for someone, like Dan Levy's character, for example, reminding Kristen Stewart, Kristen Stewart's character, that this is not about you. This isn't, you have the right to live out, and has nothing to do with you. It doesn't reflect on you, and you need to make the decision for you. What's important to you. And I think that that affirmation and reminder that you accept yourself, and you learn to love yourself, is important in our community, and know that your partner's decision to not come out, or even to lie to the parents, has nothing to do with her character. I think it's very vital and very important to understand the separation there.
Yeah, and Scotty, that scene concludes, you heard in the clip, with her, with Abby saying, I want to be with someone who essentially is out, can embrace it, doesn't want to hide or doesn't feel compelled to hide it. And Dan Levy's character essentially kind of just nods and affirms her right to still feel that way too, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, the movie would be very different if these were two out lesbians going home to the parents for the Christmas holiday. Be a completely different story, you know. And I think that you know, this whole movie is points to you know, being in a conservative home, not feeling like you can come out and be accepted if you're out. And so, you know, I think that if a couple's together and one person isn't out and they have that conversation and they're both okay with that, that's a whole different story. But and how different the movie would have been in that situation. But yeah, you know, you definitely have the right to be with somebody that affirms who you are and you affirm who they are.
Yeah, for me, I knew I wanted to have a conversation on this program about this subject right when that scene happened, because I thought, I am still sort of in an ignorant bubble here. I think of growing up and my high school with 304 graduates, I think I knew one out gay person. Now, you know, you go home, I mean, I can think of 20, and it's, you know, it's awesome. But it's, you know, I think of the same high school and in a class of 300, I have to assume, in fact, I know that it's different today. And that probably for me, Scotty, is why I spent part of the movie thinking, well, this is outdated. This is the world's moving on here. And I think I needed to hear that from Dan. What would you say to people maybe who had my mindset, Scotty, honestly, who think, well, it's 2020, it's going to be 2021, and it's a lot easier for gay couples?
Well, I mean, I think I would say that, sure, I think the world has become a more accepting place. But also, I mean, you know, take 5 minutes on social media and actually don't. I'm not encouraging you to, but
yeah, no,
you know,
read
comments about Elliot Page coming out as trans just yesterday. The world's become a better place, but the struggle is still there. Conservative families still exist. The conservative bubble still exists, across the world, and coming out is still a challenge for certain groups of people. So, you know, we made a lot of progress, and we'll continue to make that progress, especially with a new administration coming in the presidential administration. But that struggle still exists. That challenge and those obstacles to coming out still exist in one way or the other. So, you know, it's important we continue to make this world a more inclusive space for all. But the challenge is still there.
Kate, what would you say to people like me who maybe spent a lot of that movie thinking it was somewhat dated?
I don't think it was dated at all. I actually think that it was very true to now. And I think that people who are enlightened and feel like they understand think that that's how, you know, all of society feels. But that's not how you necessarily feel. I mean, I know personally over the last 4 years of the administration, I've had a worry and a terror that I haven't had since I was, you know, coming out in the late 90s and early 2000s, and a worry and a like, okay, well, we're going to like, it's going to be a fight again. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to do these things. I've got, you know, like, we're going to have to be out there. We're going to have to be, you know, justifying our actions and ourselves to the rest of the world. And, you know, like, there's so many people that still have not gotten it, and that is obvious. And there's also people who maybe they have a gay child at home, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily accept me personally, you know.
Yeah,
they might be okay with their son being gay, but they might not be okay with gay marriage. They might not be okay with, you know, gay people showing affection on the street.
Yeah.
But they're okay with it in their own home because they're like, well, I do love my son or my daughter or my trans kid, but they can't see that outside in the world. And I feel like we all kind of had blinders on, like, well, we've evolved so far. And don't get me wrong, we absolutely have. And it's, you know, like, definitely leaps and bounds, but, you know, the work's not done yet. And just the inequality is still there.
Well, let me get a little feedback, and I want to read a little bit of the criticism, both the positive reviews and the negative, and we'll ask Kate and Scotty what they think. First of all, Kathy from Irondequoit writes, Evan watched it twice already, loved it. Watched the second time with my gay daughter, who liked it too. I think Dan Levy's coming out speech to Kristen Stewart's character, Abby, was genuine and real. I highly recommend it. I could watch Dan Levy read the phone book. I agree with you on that, on Dan Levy. He is amazing. Here's two very different reviews. The first I'll read comes from Dana Piccoli, who's an editor-in-chief for Queer Media Matters. She's the one who called this a queer holiday miracle, and she wrote in a guest piece for NBCNews.com, quote, happiest season is the rom-com that queer fans deserve. While holiday movies have their fair share of queer fans, we have not been rewarded with many mainstream queer holiday love stories. It's about time, end quote. But other critics have been harsher. Here's David Oliver writing for USA Today. Quote, happiest season had all the ingredients to be a good, groundbreaking Christmas movie. Actual gay people behind and in front of the camera, a trailer that promised a story of acceptance, and a primetime holiday season streaming release. What it turned into, however, was a poor example of what a healthy gay relationship and a healthy coming out story should look like, especially with a glaring lack of such examples in mainstream media, end quote. And let me go on to read a little bit more about his specific critique. He writes, quote, for some LGBTQ plus viewers, watching a movie like this resurfaces the horrors of being closeted. I say this as someone unpacking demons of my own after being closeted for 22 years. I didn't need to watch a movie like this and relive that. This isn't a knock on Duvall, the director, as the film is inspired partly by her own coming out experience, but a more nuanced, fleshed out movie could have gone beyond the trite. Gay people, myself included, likely rolled their eyes at the film's premise. Another coming out movie? Yes, it's a big deal that movies like Happiest Season and Love, Simon exist. Yes, LGBTQ plus people don't see themselves on screen nearly as much as straight counterparts, but that doesn't mean we only deserve coming out movies. There is such a thing as gay joy and heartbreak unrelated to the feeling of being closeted, end quote. And he goes on to make this conclusion. Quote, Harper never comes out on her own. Her sister Sloane outs her at a Christmas party, an awful and unnecessary scene that strips away any type of agency Harper hopes to regain and leaves Abby never knowing if Harper would have told her family in the first place. There seems to be a narrative in the film that everyone's coming out story is different, that maybe it's okay that Harper was outed this way because, hey, at least she's out and can be with Abby, finally. Yay. Well, not quite. Not for me. It's true that no universal coming out story exists, but doing damage to others in the process of one figuring out who they are is never okay. Abby should be angry with Harper for putting her back in the closet. She should be mad at her for making her feel less than her full, authentic self, end quote. So that's a tough review. Again, there are reviews like that out there, and there's a lot of praise. Kate, how did those sort of competing ideas of reviews play in your mind on this?
I'm kind of leaning towards the first review. I think that it's great. And I think that everything, it's always going to have flaws. It's never going to be perfect for anyone. And I can understand the trauma, but it's pretty apparent in the trailer that that's what it's going to be about. So if that's something that is triggering to you as far as your own coming out story, then maybe it's a movie you choose not to watch. But like, not only, you know, the mainstream part of it is that it has named actors in it. It has Kristen Stewart and Victor Garber and Mary Steenburgen in it, like big actors that are here representing and telling a story. And, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect for it to be there and for us to be excited about it being there. And I think that the wantingness for representation in a true light is so strong within so many people that they want it to be everything. And we all know from any point of art, television, theater, it can't be everything to everyone. And I'm okay with this being a cheesy Christmas movie that happens to have this in it, and take the good with it and, you know, enjoy the cheesiness for the cheesiness of it.
It's also got Jane, who is an awesome character. Listeners will love Jane. I don't know. To me, there's certain moments where you just go, okay, I'm just enjoying this for some of the cast. And to Kate's point, it's an awesome cast, but I love Jane, the sister. Scotty, what do you make of these competing reviews?
Well, you know, I think two things. First of all, you know, we continue to need more queer representation in entertainment. And we also need it to continue to evolve and tell different stories of the LGBTQ experience. So I think both reviews make very valid points about the movie, but also, you know, how many households are going to watch this and think about how can I make my family environment that much more inclusive in case someone wants to come out and doesn't feel like they can. So I think it stirs up questions. I think it, like Kate mentioned, the cast is amazing, and I hope more people watch it and start thinking about their family environment and how it can be more of an inclusive space. And also, I think the reviews call for an evolution of queer media. So, for example, I'll use Love, Simon as a great example. Again, a mainstream movie that came out, you know, a couple years ago, and now we see the next evolution to Love, Simon is Love, Victor coming out. You know, that came out on Hulu. That was a little more of a diverse and inclusive show. So I think, you know, we continue to see more and more queer representation in entertainment, and we need to have that. I want to see myself and my story represented on film, just like so many straight characters have. So
you're hearing Scotty Gannett, who's a director of marketing and communications and a Rochesterian living in Chicago, Kate Sweeney, a theater manager for Monroe Community College and organizer of Ambush Rochester. We're talking about the new Hulu film Happiest Season. And on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about one of the themes in the film is coming out as an adult, especially when, you know, you may have a family that is less welcoming, to the point Scotty was just making, that hasn't created that space, and the challenge for gay adults to come out when there are certain expectations from parents that you see in the film, norms that they expect followed. And so we'll talk about that, and you're going to hear Kate and Scotty's story as well on the other side of this break on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, the Trump administration has created a new citizenship test, 128 questions. We'll take you through some of the questions and talk about whether the test is fair and appropriate. In our second hour, the first of a series of conversations about the split in this country, with Republicans seemingly unable to win in large cities, Democrats seemingly unable to win in rural areas. What might change it? We'll talk about it Friday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Kate Sweeney, you mentioned earlier this hour that your own coming out story goes back 20 years now. Can you kind of take us through what happened with you and how it went with your family?
Yeah, I mean, I think mine's a little bit unusual through the time. I grew up in a very conservative Irish Catholic family and household. And I had already come out myself and probably about 18, but I hadn't told my family. And one day I realized that I needed to tell my family. And so at that time, I only really felt comfortable with telling my mother because I did not think it would be received well by my father or other members of my family. So I went with my mother and had that moment that Dan Levy's character talked about of, you know, the moment before you say the words to somebody who has known you your whole life and everything else. And, you know, I told my mother that I was a lesbian and that I was gay. And she asked me if it was because I was in theater. I said, yes. We had a good laugh. And she said that as long as I was happy, it didn't matter to her. And that was good enough for me. And I kind of, you know, I didn't really think of in the type of household that I was. Well, you know, we didn't talk about a lot of things or what was going on. I had already, by that point, moved out of the house and didn't think it was really a big deal to actually come out to the rest of my family. I wasn't hiding myself, and I was just kind of living my life. And then about a year later, I was actually already very much involved within the community and working at a pride fair that used to exist on South Ave called the Pride Connection. And I got interviewed for an article about the census, hence 20 years, I believe it was the 2000 census. you know, about the South Wedge where I lived then and I live today. And it was ended up being they took my picture and they had interviewed me and it ended up being on the front page of the Democratic Chronicle and it said local lesbian Kate Sweeney. And I didn't think anything of it until I got a phone call from my mother telling me that everyone had seen it. And, you know, that my grandmothers had seen it. My father had seen it. And I was like, okay, well, is that okay with everyone? And everyone was like, yeah, I guess it's cool that you're in the paper. And then we didn't really talk about it much. And I continued to live my life and kind of didn't discuss much with them, kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of policy. But then when I did get into a committed relationship a few years later, I watched my family kind of come around and kind of change their views, at least when it came to me, and be accepting of me and who I was with and what I was doing, and that they did just want me to be happy.
That's pretty remarkable, Kate. I mean, for someone who has had kept your identity quiet from your family, to just be in the newspaper as local lesbian Kate Sweeney, that's something that, you know, you were telling us this story yesterday, and I'm going, wow, that is something. Was there any moment after that of any heightened tension or even a release where you thought, okay, like, we're good now, we're moving on here?
I think, you know, like, it definitely... I mean, my father knew that I was, like, active in the community but didn't want to ask any particular questions about it. And I saw after that time period him start to think about it a little more and, you know, definitely change his views when it came to me and be accepting of me and what I was doing and proud that I was, you know, like, working and being active and active in the community. And I think that's something that helped him kind of understand it a little bit. It was, you know... A few years back, I got an email from my father that started with, on my, you know, authority of everything gay. And I was like, that was the moment, oddly enough, where I truly felt accepted, was that he could even make light of it in a joke and meant it sincerely, you know.
Was there also any sense for you at the age of 18, 19, when you decided you're at least going to tell your mother, you know, in the film Happiest Season, Harper goes back home. And her parents are still trying to set her up with an old high school boyfriend. You know, they're kind of going through this. Hey, we invited him to dinner. What do you think? And of course, it's painful for Harper and Abby and awkward. Were you worried about any of that? Was any of that happening in your life with your family?
On my paternal grandmother's side, there was always, you know, when are you going to get a boyfriend and whatever. But at the time I just very much shrugged it off and I was like, probably never. And I would make quips and jokes at it. And it was never anything to where anyone was trying to, I mean, I was very independent and I was definitely living my own life outside of my family because to be honest, I had found my new family.
No, I'm just laughing at the idea of probably never as in like definitely never. things have pretty solid now, though, it seems, Kate, in your relationship and in life for you.
Yes, definitely. I recently got engaged, and my family is very excited and
awesome.
Happy. My mother is mad that we're waiting a couple of years, but I want all of this pandemicness to be over before we can have an actual party. So, yes, that's my family's biggest problem, that they have to wait for us to get married.
That's an awesome problem to have. I love that. Congratulations on the engagement. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Scotty, for you, let's talk a little bit about your own story. I know you've written and blogged about it. For listeners who don't know the story, let's go over it. Go ahead.
Sure. So I came out 11 years ago on Christmas Eve in an email to my friends and family. It's funny that Kate mentioned the Pride connection. I wrote that email from Equal Grounds on South Avenue. So an interesting connection there. But you know, I wrote the email and I clicked send and I kind of waited for any response. And I received a very kind email back from one of my great aunts who mentioned that her husband has a lesbian niece and how, you know, wonderful and welcoming, you know, she was, et cetera. So that launched age 21. Of course, I was already living in the city of Rochester. And that kind of launched a period of time where my parents and I really didn't have a good relationship for close to a decade. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago now, my mom and I were talking, and she made the step to say, I was throwing her a birthday party, and she made the comment, well, you know, you could invite your friends too. And I said to her, I said, you know, mom, most of my friends are gay and lesbian. Are you going to be okay with that? And it took her just a couple of days. And she finally said to me, yes, go ahead. And it was a huge moment, I think, for me to see my mom be okay with just be okay with that concept. And you know, my journey growing up in a conservative Christian home, being homeschooled, attending conservative churches, you know, there was that bubble, and it certainly was not something accepted. It was frowned upon. I mean, pastors that I had went to for counseling, you know, told me to, you know, not talk with a lisp and act masculine and dress masculine, et cetera, as if that changes someone's sexuality. And it doesn't. And I remember a very key, moment, when I was in church one day on a Sunday, during the altar call, you know, at the end of the service, and the pastor, you know, says, if you want to come for prayer. And, so I walked up, and I prayed to God. I said, God, kill me or change me. And little did I know that the change that would happen would be me starting to understand that who I am as an individual, queer, that's something that's okay. That's something that can be celebrated and accepted, and my spirituality, my sexuality could actually unite. It was a very key moment. I think if I were to summarize my journey from coming out, it was a journey of self acceptance.
How's the relationship with your family now?
After a decade, it's much, much, much better. You know, my mom and I, we text frequently. Of course, now they're separated by a few hundred miles now. You know, we text frequently. We talk frequently. As I do with my dad, much, much, much better. You know, and I hope someday, you know, when I meet somebody and engaged and getting married, that they'll be there to celebrate that moment as well.
Do you expect that they will be?
Now, yes. I remember Evan years ago thinking, mom and dad, you know, if I ever meet somebody, a partner, and we're going to get married, my parents are never going to show up. And, you know, I was blessed to have a very supportive aunt and uncle at the time. And I was like, I guess my aunt and uncle are going to be the ones filling in for my parents at their wedding. Now, yes, I would expect to show up and celebrate.
Let me read some listener feedback. Jeremy writes to say, I haven't seen this movie, but I will proceed to blank on it. He says, I did not choose to be gay, but what I can choose is the integrity with which I live my life and the quality of the people I choose to be my family. While I am 100% in favor of representation, I hope that young people watching the film know that they don't have to settle for relationships where they are asked to deny themselves in such a fundamental way. Love y'all. That's from Jeremy. What do you think, Scotty?
100%. I mean, the movie itself has so many different takeaways. You know, you have someone who doesn't want to come out because their dad is running for a local office. You have the theme of, you know, a partner that is out that's going home for the holidays with a partner that isn't out, and also running into an ex. So you absolutely have the right, and you should want to live with integrity and authenticity. But again, this movie isn't just about that. It's also about, just like in Dan Levy's speech, you know, it's also about you. It's also about your partner. It's you know, there's so many themes in the movie that, you know, again, like Kate said earlier, you can watch the trailer. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But also know that this movie being mainstream, hopefully will cause conversation, open people's eyes, and change some lives as well.
What do you think of Jeremy's email, Kate?
I, you know, obviously that's 100% true, and mm-hmm. you have a choice, just like you and everything else, to watch this or not watch this or bring this into your life. And for me personally, I think that this is one of those things that if one family sees this and watches this movie, and yes, it is another coming out story, but maybe, I mean, I've watched lots and lots of, you know, like queer and LGBTQIA cinema and films and things like that. But maybe there's one family. For me, it's good enough if one family watches this movie and goes, oh my God, have I been Have I been doing this to my kids in any way? Maybe it's not about their sexuality. Maybe it's about something else. Have I been, you know, like making them hide their true self from me? If it affects one person or one family, I think that's a win.
I'm going to read some more feedback here. This next one is an email that came anonymously. The struggle in this film is real, and the more mainstream, the better, because there are still millions of conservatives that think being anything but heterosexual is wrong. Thankfully, some of the characters can come around in the movies. Unfortunately, that is not always the case. That was not the case with me. My Irish Catholic conservative parents chose their religion over me when I fell for a woman at the age of 40. I definitely had the feeling, had feelings for the same gender in my adolescence, but I knew that my parents would not cope with that. Losing my parents is exactly what happened. I knew that my religious parents would try to change me, likely through conversion therapy. They say they still love me, but they don't agree with same-sex relationships, and they never have. I went through the pain of trying to convince them and trying to make them see me, their daughter. Tried to make them change. They will not. They cannot. Therefore, I had to choose to not allow them in our lives, our children's lives, whom we both had in previous hetero relationships. I cannot have that in our living home. Love is love. Whew. That's from a listener asking to remain anonymous. That is really hard. Here's a note from Scott Fearing, the former director of the Gay Alliance of the Genesee Valley. Scott says, "The people I know who came out as adults came out in their 40s or even later. So going home to Ma and Pa might not have had the same power, and their discussions were very different. Telling a spouse, telling children, not so much a birth family. One person who I talked with and was considering participating on this program actually had teenage grandkids he had to come out to. Interesting, his grandson then came out to him. They actually did a StoryCorps interview when StoryCorps came to Rochester a few years ago. Family visits for queer people or couples can be tricky at all ages, out or not. I remember getting in discussions with my siblings when our parents allowed my boyfriend and I to share a bed when home for the holidays, and they would not let my sisters and their boyfriends even share a room." That's from Scott. Kate, do you see a significant difference in coming out as adults versus coming out for you know, minors, people under the age of 18?
I think definitely, because, I mean, it's hard because then your family knows you longer. They, even if it's the wrong idea, they have an idea of you and what they think about you. And also, you've put that pressure on yourself, too, because especially when you're coming out later in life, like, this is something that kind of you've hidden from yourself for a long time. So, you know, like, you don't expect anybody to, because there was such a long time that you did not accept yourself. So, you know, like, you wouldn't be able to really think that, oh, they couldn't possibly accept me for who I am. And unfortunately, there are so many scenarios, as the first letter that you read, where they're just, it doesn't matter. And all you can do is continue to accept yourself and make your own life. If that happens to not involve your, you know, actual blood family, then it doesn't, you know. Luckily, I mean, hopefully Scott has the same experience. Scotty has the same experience, but within the community, it's great. And you kind of do form a second family, or sometimes your only family.
Yeah. Yeah. And Scotty, I'll let you respond there. And as you do in our last 90 seconds, let me also just read one more quick question that I think you can weave in an answer here. Don just says, "I've heard the word conservative a fair bit this hour, I think as a way to describe people who are anti-LGBTQ. Why that word? I'm sure plenty of conservatives don't fit that label, though plenty do. Is there a better way to describe it?" What do you think, Scotty?
I think, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience growing up in a family that held conservative values and conservative Christian values. So I think, you know, are there conservatives that are accepting? I can't speak to that. I don't know that for sure. So I hope there are, but also, would they be conservative anymore if they were accepting and open to, and open to that? I don't know. And I actually want to talk on something that Kate mentioned, was the second family. I think it's so important that we talk about this briefly, is the chosen family, right? Just because your birth family or adoptive family, in my case, doesn't accept you, doesn't mean that there are not people, an entire community that will open their arms, embrace you, and be there for you and with you as you journey through this life. And I think I am incredibly blessed and thankful for my chosen family, most of whom are in Rochester, who were there when I came out, got me involved with Pride and other organizations, and really it really became part of my family.
And they miss you, by the way, here.
And I miss them all too. I miss Rochester. I love Chicago. It's certainly a different city. I love it here, but I certainly miss Rochester too.
I just want to say to everyone listening, but especially to listeners in the LGBTQ plus community, I really hope that you have love around you. And I think Scotty's point is so important. There's blood family, there's chosen family, and I hope that everyone has a chance to feel surrounded by that now and throughout the year. And Scotty, it's great catching up with you. Thanks for joining the program today.
Thanks, Adam.
Kate Sweeney, wonderful having you. Again, congrats on the engagement. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Adam.
Kate and Scotty talking about the new film Happiest Season. It's out on Hulu now if you want to check it out. Rob Braden is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Grateful for your listenership. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.